This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I have a very special guest this evening, but until she shows up, hoping she hasn't been diverted or delayed, let me issue the number, the call-in number, 717-300-1698, 717-300-1698, where we'll, I'm sure, be glad to take calls after the break. Several developments worth mentioning, most strikingly, Jeff Bezos, who purchased the Washington Post to utilize it as an instrument of propaganda, has given none other than John Podesta a Washington Post column. Podesta, of course, is a key player in the Pizzagate scandal. In fact, it was revelations that came from WikiLeaks' release of Podesta emails that led to the entire horrific discovery of a code about child trafficking, child molesting, the death of children. It's a true horror story. And the very idea that John Podesta would be given a column in the Washington Post is an indication of how far our nation has sunk into corruption and depravity. There's a rather good new video out entitled Bombshell. John Podesta squirms when he talks about Pizzagate and James Alifantis. It runs about an hour. I think most of you would find it quite fascinating. There are two commentators. It's on the Sargent Report, who does a lot of very good stuff. Interestingly, Donald Trump today has conducted White House conference on child trafficking, which I think is a historic development. I'm unaware of any other president who has laid the issue on the table. I do understand that Richard Nixon, when he became aware of snuff films, was so outraged that he organized a secret group. He gave directions that this should be ended. He didn't want to know how. He just wanted it to be done, and that in very short order, the snuff film industry was basically terminated. I think that Nixon was, in that respect at least, a moral man in opposing snuff films, which are, of course, you know, individuals who are put to death typically at the heights of sexual passion. In the state of orgasm, it's a disgusting phenomenon. And to the best of my knowledge, its frequency has been relatively low in recent times, but I've not sought it out. I do think that the Pizzagate phenomenon is absolutely stunning. And of course, further evidence of the corruption of the Washington Post is that Jeff Bezos was given a $600 million contract by the CIA. So it should not be very surprising under those circumstances that the Washington Post would take this obscure website, clearly created just for the purpose, called Prop or Not, and to present the so-called Russian dossier, which we know from 4chan actually was a piece of fan fiction. It was completely outrageous that it was created by a member of the chat board who sent it to an enthusiastic anti-Trumper who forwarded it to the CIA. Most of you are aware of this today, but it stuns me how there's continued discussion in the media about Russian hacking, about the Russian dossier, because it has no warrant. These are both fabricated issues. There was no Russian hacking. In fact, Podesta in this particular video is talking about, you know, Russian hacking in an evident effort to divert attention from the failure of the Clinton campaign and the corruption of Hillary Clinton herself. If I haven't mentioned it before, Hillary has been showing up at Broadway plays. She's attended at least four and received standing ovations, except that it isn't, in fact, Hillary Clinton at all. It's a new double where I've done a great deal of research on this. You might want to go to jamesfetzer.blogspot.com to check it out, because we know of now four doubles, it would appear. And this is apart from a woman who in the past looked so much like Hillary that she actually did gigs impersonating her, which was for fun and profit, not for political effect. Where we know, of course, the first Hillary double came out of Chelsea's apartment house after Hillary had collapsed at the 9/11 event, where her handlers were evidently becoming anxious that if she didn't make an appearance soon, that anxiety over her health could create an obstacle to her success in campaigning for the president. This double was 2 to 3 inches shorter, 35 to 40 pounds lighter, at least 10 years younger, very limber, very spry. She reminded me so much of the actress in You Got Mail. I refer to her as the Meg Ryan double. A second, however, appeared on the flight to Greensboro in just a few days later. She was taller and thinner than Hillary, had a more sloped forehead, had the wrong nose, was missing these two moles Hillary has just above and below the right corner of her mouth, and where she was easily identifiable if you were paying close enough attention, which is, it staggers me to realize that the mainstream media has not been. That then, actually, during the debates, she appeared in a debate, a third double appeared in a debate with Bernie Sanders, and subsequently even with Donald Trump. She's been outed in a very good video. So you can find all of this, including the video outing her, on at jamesfetzer.blogspot.com. This is in the wake, too, of a discovery of that a Sandy Hook, alleged Sandy Hook victim, known as Noah Posner, where we have done a great deal to expose the Sandy Hook hoax, but where even the Los Angeles Times has, as recently as the 3rd of February, published an article, "In an Age of Alternative Facts, the Massacre of School Children is Called a Hoax," where it runs, "If there's anything worse than losing a child, it's losing a child and having people taunt you over the loss. That is what happened to the family of Noah Posner, a six-year-old with tousled brown hair and lollipop red lips, the youngest of the 26 children and staff members gunned down in 2012 at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut." But where the very keen student of Sandy Hook, Kelly Watt, who had had over 100 hours of conversation with Lenny Posner, who purports to be the father of Noah, where she told him she didn't believe anything he said, didn't believe he had a son, didn't believe he died at Newtown, eventually sent her a death certificate, which remarkably enough turned out to be a fabrication. I mean, that's fairly stunning proof that this was an elaborate hoax. We know, in fact, that the school had been closed by 2008 because it was in terrible condition. And I'm very delighted to say that my guest is now here. I want to welcome to the show a six-term member of the House of Representatives, the first Black woman elected to represent Georgia in the House, the Democratic presidential candidate on the Green Party in 2008, Cynthia McKinney. I'm one of your huge fans. Welcome to The Raw Deal.
Thank you so much, Dr. Fetzer. It's quite an honor for me to be with you, even if we're separated by probably, 20,000 miles, because I'm so far away. But I'm happy to be on your show. I listen to it often.
Well, I'm simply delighted to have you here. You're somebody I immensely admire. I thought your act was a tremendous courage when you revealed that when new members of Congress come to Washington, D.C., they're asked to sign a pledge to put the interests of Israel ahead of those of the United States, and where those who decline to sign, as you declined to sign, find themselves confronted with a well-financed alternative candidate, or even, if the circumstances are inauspicious, that their district has been redrawn and they no longer have a seat. You actually had your district redrawn and you wound up being elected nevertheless to the redrawn district. Cynthia, that was quite a feat, by the way. It looks like we're suffering electronic interference. Give it a shot. Say what you can.
Yes. Wait just a minute. Let me see if I can get rid of okay, maybe this will be better. Is this better?
Yes. Yes, it's better. Yes, it's better. I mean.
Okay. Great. You were talking about the redistricting. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, let me just say that it was like a redistricting is supposed to take place every 10 years after the census is taken. But my district was redistricted every 2 years, every other year. So it was just amazing that I would go in, the Georgia legislature would change my district one time, I would win, and so then they would change the district another time, I would win, and so then, you know, they kept tinkering with it in order to make sure that I lost. Now this, I was targeted by the Republicans in concert with the Democrats, and of course the first time I lost, what I said was the Republicans wanted to beat me more than the Democrats wanted to keep me. So this shows, I believe, the power of the Israel lobby once a person comes to the displeasure of the Israel lobby, then both the Democrats and the Republicans work together in order to get rid of that person. And so you can look at what happened with Paul Finley, for example. He was a Republican. So it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat. It doesn't matter if you are a Republican. Gus Savage was a Democrat. Those same forces, and Gus Savage did a wonderful job of explaining on the House floor just exactly how the Israel lobby works. And I would recommend, you know, Mearsheimer and Waltz have been celebrated for what they wrote. But honestly, the epitome of the procedure that is used in a particular district, that was spelled out clearly by Representative Gus Savage of Chicago when he read Laying Out the Facts, which is the name of his speech in the Congressional Record.
Let me ask your opinion, because I think these issues are related. Pizzagate appears to me to involve an Israeli op to compromise members of Congress by putting them in situations where they can be filmed committing despicable acts, such as having sex with children. Jeffrey Epstein's Lolita Express, of course, was famous for flying prominent figures such as Bill and Hillary Clinton to his so-called Orgy Island in the Caribbean. Once they're compromised, then, of course, the Israelis have even greater influence to control them. Obviously, every member of Congress is aware of the power of IPAC. How many, however, are willing to do anything about it? Is it impossible to do anything about it? And am I right in believing that Pizzagate is a part of this? And that's why there's all this resistance to the Trump administration, which, so far as I can tell, is actually going to go after a Pizzagate.
Well, in my estimation, one need only read the Sybil Edmonds deposition. And so you can find that online if you just search for Sybil, S-I-B-E-L, Edmonds, E-D-M-O-N-D-S, deposition. Because she was able to hear the compromising or the way in which an outstanding member of Congress is compromised and to the extent that what we witnessed with her husband from the Project Veritas, then you rise up in the Democratic Party, you rise up in the Democratic Party hierarchy or in that structure once you have been compromised. But when Jan Schakowsky came into the House of Representatives, she was on fire. She was hot. And all of a sudden, her tone began to change. Well, Jan Schakowsky and I had a conversation because it turned out that one member of Congress, one member of the press was interested in, you know, what had happened. One member of the press had seen the change and contacted me and said, what's going on? Well, it's hard to say what's going on if you're, sort of like not in a position of Sybil Edmonds to actually hear the conversation. But Sybil's clearly spells it out. And so based on that deposition, which it was a legal document in a lawsuit, and she was sworn in, she was under oath. So therefore, you have to take Sybil Edmonds's deposition as a statement of truth. So Jan Schakowsky is the one whose name in the deposition, and that included let's put it this way: doing things that you don't, that you are not proud of, to gain the confidence of the leadership. And all I can say is Sybil Edmonds disclosed it all. And Jan Schakowsky was the member of representatives who, was caught in the sting that Sybil describes. So I remember that after Hurricane Katrina, I went to every member of the Black Caucus and I said, okay, Nancy Pelosi has told us to stand down and just let what happened or what didn't happen in terms of a governmental response after Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, to just let bygones be bygones. And one member of Congress, I tried and tried and tried to get them to participate in the Hurricane Katrina, select committee that was formed afterward to investigate the government's response. And the Republicans were offering fully half of the funding for the committee. They just wanted to have Democratic participation. The Democrats said, oh, the Republicans are going to lie, and so we're not.
Cynthia, that's all fascinating. Let me ask you this. I did an interview with a NYPD Gold Shield Detective Jim Rothstein, who was an expert on pedophilia, cracked many cases, found often when he took them to the DA that they were suppressed for political reasons. When I began to share with him some of the findings from Anthony Weiner's treasure trove of 650,000 emails, I asked him if he were surprised, and he explained not at all, that based upon his experience, as much as 70% of the political elite in the United States are engaged in pedophilia. Do you believe he's right about that? I mean, he's an expert, of course, on pedophilia and pedophiles. You're an expert on Congress. Do you think that he's offering a well-founded estimate?
Well, let me finish saying what I was saying about the Select Committee on Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, because I think the attitude that is prevalent in Congress is extremely important, that was expressed to me by one of the most vocal members of Congress there is. And what I was told is this: when the members of the Congressional Black Caucus refused to participate, and you know how animated the Black Caucus was, and all of the Black people in the United States were animated around what George Bush and Michael Chertoff and all of them did not do after Hurricane Katrina and Rita. One member of Congress told me, Cynthia, this is almost a direct quote, Cynthia, you just have to understand that when the leadership tells us to do something, we're going to do it. So now, this is the mindset and this is the attitude. If this indeed is the mindset and the attitude, and I say that it is, and this is almost a direct quote that came to me from one of the most active and vocal members of Congress that there is to this day, then the leadership, however they define that, the leadership is going to be able to dictate to even the most progressive members of Congress what they can and cannot do.
Cynthia, we have to take a brief break. It's only a minute. We'll be right back with Cynthia McKinney. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, with my special guest this evening, Cynthia McKinney. Cynthia, we're in the midst of what appears to be massive resistance, what has been even described as a purple revolution, an attempt to delegitimize the administration of Donald Trump. The participants seem to include George Soros, Barack and Michelle Obama, Bill and Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Tim Kaine, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Elizabeth Warren, Maxine Waters, Adam Schiff, John Brennan, James Clapper, and others. Have you ever seen anything like this in your history with the Congress?
Well, of course, I was much derided by some of the neocon news outlets, of which there are many that proliferate. And I was derided when I said that this atmosphere that has been created is very much like what the situation was that led up to November 22nd, 1963. And so, you know, even the wanted poster, remember there was a wanted poster with sure. JFK's face on it?
So, H.L. Hunt distributed them. Go ahead,
Cynthia. So we've got a situation where one faction of the U.S. deep state is fighting the other faction of the U.S. deep state. And so now there's a theory called cryodynamics. I'm going to actually do my own radio show. I'm going to do it on this theory on the next show, actually, because I've discussed this for probably about a year, and I've, you know, sort of hoped that interest would be piqued enough for them to just go look it up and see what happens. But basically, when you have one faction of the deep state fighting another faction of the deep state, then we, the average ordinary folks, are able to see this dispute in full bloom and are therefore able to understand what's going on if we have the eye that's attuned to that. So what I began to understand very clearly is while I was in the Congress and I was battling from day one the Israel firsters that are in Congress and behind the scenes of Congress. So you've got the layer of the political party, you've got the arm of the fundraising, you've got the layer of the staff of the Congress and the employees on Capitol Hill, and then you've got the layer of the players who themselves are members of Congress. So the objective of each of these factions would be to gain control of each one of these layers. And we know that one faction of the deep state long held control of this the entire apparatus, and then all of a sudden the other faction, which I say is the, I call it the Israel First, and I call it now, I call it the pro-Hillary, neocon, neoliberal, Israel First, pro-war faction of the U.S. deep state. And I think Catherine Austin Fitz, a wonderful woman, who characterized it as one faction wants to save the United States of America, and the other faction wants to just maintain their gravy train, and if it means destroying the U.S., will do so. And I think it's not very difficult for us to understand which faction that is. And so you've got these two factions that are duking it out. And the total and thorough penetration and domination of each one of these layers is very clear. For example, the methodology is that if the, you know, it was the Democratic Party, and during my time, the Democratic Party was struggling to maintain its identity, a particular identity. That changed. And the other faction, the pro-Hillary, pro-war, pro-neocon faction of the U.S. deep state was able to take over the political party, the fundraising arms, the eventually the members of Congress themselves. So that's, this has been a process that's been going on for a very long time. And people, you know, people who were not inside the system probably didn't pay very much attention. And so now it's to the point where you've got both factions fighting for their lives, because you've got one faction that has enjoyed the success of control, and you've got another faction that realizes that it lost control. So when Wesley Clark said that the United States had undergone a policy coup, there were very few people who understood exactly what that meant, but I was there in the Congress, inside that apparatus, at the time that the culmination of the power of the Israel Firsters became very clear. And so now I don't want to defend these members of Congress, but you see, the other faction of the deep state went along with this, the so-called America First faction. They went along with what happened. They were silent as it was happening. So when I was being vocal about what I was witnessing, who was doing it, what I saw, what I myself was even victimized by, I was called kooky, loony, I was called names, I was denigrated, I was derided, and it was all right. Very few people came. In fact, I could probably count on my one hand the number of people of prominence who came to my defense and who understood and realized what I was actually trying to convey. And so in the face of this attitude on the Hill, Cynthia, you just have to understand that we're going to do what the leadership tells us to do. Nobody I was made a poster child for what you don't want to do, and I was popular in my district. So now if you're popular in your district and the forces can be arrayed such that the media lie, now all of the stuff that I went through, everybody now knows. You would not be surprised. Or maybe you would be surprised. And the number of emails and social media now, mostly contacts I get from people who are saying, you know, I drank the Kool-Aid. I thought you were crazy. I thought you were a loon. I thought you were kooky, because those were the names that I was called. And very few people came to my defense or to my rescue. But one of the things that's very clear is that no one has ever said that I lied. They've not been able to say that. And so now, 15 years later, people are telling me you need to go back and get into the fight. But that was 15 years ago that I was trying to explain what has happened. Maybe my words were inelegant. Maybe my method could have been better. Maybe I could have chosen different platforms. But my message hasn't changed for 15 years. And only now is it that people's eyes are waking up and they understand that they have totally been duped by what Dr. Paul Craig Roberts calls the prostitute media. This is the power that the media have. And this is the power that the alternative media, people like you, Dr. Fetzer, have stripped that power away from them. And so this is our moment. This is your moment. And we have to seize advantage of this moment in any way that we can. Is there a method to their madness? Absolutely. Will they do anything? Remember that Seymour Hersh, getting back to cryodynamics. So I think what we have here is a combination of the phenomenon of cryodynamics, deep state faction fighting deep state faction. Then, of course, the fight is revealed and we all can see it. Then on top of that, we have one faction that has long threatened the use of the Samson option. So I suggest to people that they look up Samson option and read the book by Seymour Hersh. Once you understand that back in the 1960s, when John Kennedy was saying, you are going to abide by the, well, first of all, not even abide by nuclear proliferation treaties, but you're not going to become a nuclear state. The Israelis said, the heck, we're going to listen to you. And so that's what led Mordecai Vanunu to go on Democracy Now. And I had to go back and play it again. Now I can't find it. But Mordecai Vanunu said on Democracy Now! That the Israelis played a role in the assassination of JFK, because he was, you know, they were upset at JFK's stance, which was quite strict on Israel acquiring nuclear weapons, because by this time, JFK had had his transformation, and he was trying to really be the kind of president that we all wanted him to be. I was very young at that time, but that we would love to have now. And so you've got the Samson option, which is the threat of nuclear blackmail hanging over that other faction. And I just believe, now this is my belief, that Samson option is it is a fact. The observations in cryodynamics, those are facts. And so now comes my belief that you've got the two of those operating now. And so these guys will do anything to hold on to power. So what I thought I would do is I would go back and look at these other scandals to see who was involved. So you've got Jack Abramoff, who was taking charity money and secretly funneling it to the settlement in Israel. So Jack Abramoff was able to neutralize some darn good members of Congress. And let me tell you that there were other members of Congress who went on those trips with Jack Abramoff, but nobody has talked about them because they got the message. And so they are still in their positions. They went on those trips with Jack Abramoff. Heaven only knows what they did while they were on those trips. And Robert Nye from Ohio becomes the poster child for Abramoff, right? Remember him? What the contract that was up at the time, and Bob Nye was in charge of the House Administration Committee, which made these kinds of decisions, was the provision of cellular Wi-Fi connections throughout the Capitol complex, throughout Capitol Hill. And so now imagine the conversations that you can sit in on and listen to if you have that contract. That's what was up. Then the two contenders, one was a U.S. company, the other one was an Israeli company. Bob Nye gets, you know, shown his dossier, and this is my speculation. However you figure that out, it's clear that U.S. national security requires that a U.S. company have that contract. The Israeli company gets the contract. And so things like that happen. Then Bob Nye gets sent to prison. One of the reasons I believe he gets sent to prison is because he served as a back channel to Iran. So now if you're going to have war with Iran, you can't be talking to Iran. You got to build a wall there. Bob Nye was the connection and that was being used. And so then you neutralize the connection. You can have you can then begin to rattle the sabers against Iran. So this has been a long, very long process. And if people had listened to me back then we would be less in the predicament that we are in now. But still, we are in this predicament. Now, I want to give one more example, and then I will get into what I know you are literally dying to hear, and that is the Pizzagate thing. So, the other member of Congress who had a problem was the reason, part of the reason that the 911 record is incomplete is because the members of Congress who got that 911, there was a problem with what we were being told, were neutralized. And Kurt Weldon from Pennsylvania is one of those members of Congress who got neutralized. And the way they did it was Kurt Weldon went to the floor of the House and he said, even if I lose my election, I'm going to get to the bottom of Abel Danger. And Kurt Weldon, during his election, his home was raided. I think it was his daughter. They said she was getting contracts or whatever. Her home was raided. Now you can imagine the FBI raiding your home while you're in the midst of an election. They don't have to find a thing. And they didn't find anything. But Kurt Weldon lost the election. Thank goodness he was allowed to continue to live. And so what you've got is those who are able to put 1 + 1 together become victimized by that pro-Hillary, pro-war faction of the U.S. deep state. Now, here's the thing. I'm a Democrat, but I wasn't the right kind. Well, I was at that time a Democrat, but I wasn't the right kind of Democrat. I didn't kowtow to that faction. In fact, I began to understand where the landmines are, how they operate, who the players are. I got the names. I got the, you know, it's like, I'm not a loon and I'm not a kook. So I understood, I was a bit naive though, that I thought that people would be outraged if I made the admissions about what I was beginning to understand, how that system was so rigged and so corrupted. But people didn't understand and people didn't care. And then, of course, I became the goat that it needed to be gotten rid of. And I think part of that has to do with race, because I was a black woman from the South who was telling some truths that people didn't want to hear. And because they didn't want to hear it, I was out of my place. I was out of line. And it was easy to just shunt me through the side to the side. And that's what happened. So they got rid of me, but they got rid of Kurt Weldon, and it just kept happening. They got rid of Tropicon. They got rid of everybody who dared to stand up. What is the message that you think is going to be sent to the other members of Congress? So if you want an explanation of why they do what they do, just look in the mirror and say, what did I do to defend trafficant, to defend even Nay, even though, you know, he went on the Abramoff trip. But here's the thing, it's the selective persecution of some individuals based on their willingness to buck the pro-Hillary, pro-war U.S. faction of the deep state. Not only Kurt Weldon, but you can look more recently at Dennis Kucinich. Dennis is a victim of it because he was pro-peace. Now, all Dennis did was say, let's not have these wars. Let Congress exercise its constitutional responsibilities when it comes to war. Don't abdicate that responsibility to the executive branch. That's all Dennis said. Dennis was redistricted and put in a district with Marcy Kaptur, and the rest is history. They knew exactly what they were doing, and they knew how to do it. This is the power of the deep state as long as they have control of your mind. And so one of the things that I say on my radio show is every week I say the great anti-apartheid leader Steve Biko, who was killed in prison, reminded everyone that the most potent weapon in the hand of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. And what we all now have to do is decolonize our minds, because that pro-war, pro-Hillary, neocon, neoliberal faction of the U.S. deep state has colonized the mind of the U.S. body politic.
In the couple of minutes that remain, can you remark on Pizzagate? And one other question, can Trump drain the swamp?
Well, the answer, short answer to the second question is yes. He has executive power and he can drain the swamp. But it's kind of hard to drain the swamp when you're standing in the middle of the swamp and you have voluntarily, or, you know, I have to presume that these are all voluntarily, although, you know, he did get two visits from Henry Kissinger. I don't know what the content of those visits was, but he has the power and the authority to drain the swamp. He has not chosen to this point, in my opinion, to do so. And part of that is there's a difference between campaigning and running a campaign. There's absolutely, totally a difference between running a company and running a government. And so I think the team that, first of all, the team that Donald Trump has around him is not ready for governance. They are going to make silly ethics mistakes. And we've already seen some of that. If that doesn't get tightened up, the Israeli prediction that Donald Trump will be impeached will come true, and it will come true because of silly, repeated ethical errors that are being made. And I would hasten to add that those errors are unnecessary.
That's very sobering. Can you squeeze in 60 seconds on Pizzagate?
Well, look, when I was there, the members of Congress, I've already given the Jan Schakowsky, people should go up and look at her deposition, then you'll understand exactly what's going on. Lolita Express doesn't just exist out of the blue, right? And this is something I've also said on my radio show, that because of the impunity that these folk enjoy, you've got 100 and some odd Jane Doe's who are protesting the fact that Epstein got such a light sentence for such heinous crime. So the impunity would say would lead like a Bill Clinton not to go to Lolita on the Lolita Express one or two times, but he goes 20 times. You know, you've got Hillary Clinton not going one or two times, going five or six times. And so these people get more and more emboldened the more impunity they are given. And so, you know, I'm heartened to see the roundup of these people who, you know, the pedophiles that have been going on around the world who are being snatched up by the authorities. But that's got to go all the way up to the top.
Cynthia, will you promise to come back?
Yes, I will.
And tell us where we can find your radio show. I'm sure many in the audience are going to want to check it out.
I archive it on my website, which is www.allthingscynthiamckinney.com. And it's broadcast live on kpfk.org at midnight. So it's called Cynthia's Midnight Oil.
Cynthia, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. I wish you well. I admire you beyond words. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, thanking my special guest, Cynthia McKinney, for being here, and all of you for listening.